So my girlfriend's staying down here again.
Oh, I didn't know if y'all were two were still together.
You hadn't met her there so long.
No, well, she's such a bitch.
Oh, well, that's not good way to start it.
Right.
Well, nah. I tell you, well,
no, that's what she says to you all the time. Nah.
That's what makes her a bitch.
Well, she caught me, you know, she caught me blow drying my balls.
Oh, okay.
And asked me what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently,
and you said I'm blow drying my balls.
No, apparently heating your dinner was not the right answer.
Oh my god.
It's kind of strange. You look at happily deranged. I can't be settling in bed. Or have you picked your target yet? It's ending.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating is a zero, although since we are recording, I popped open a grapefruit honey Abita. That one, it's okay. I'm just finishing them. I don't think I'll buy it again. I think I might have to go back to my, my
commotion?
Sweet... No, well, this commotion's okay. I wish commotion came in a bottle. I'm not really a big fan of drinking out of a... like, drinking beer from a can. Even though maybe you pour it into a glass, it makes it a little bit better. But I find I prefer beer to come out of a bottle.
I agree with that.
Anymore.
Sure.
Yeah. So when commotion starts, you know, investing in bottles, I might start drinking that more often. But I think I'm going to stick right now with the Sweetwater... pineapple IPA, or the what was the one I was drinking in the last episode? The Sculpin.
I don't know, that was like 6 months ago.
Well, that is the intro. Even though it's been only a few weeks, not 6 months, since our last episode, it kind of feels like 6 months, or at least that you've seen a more recent episode of Game of Thrones since you more recently than you've listened to an episode of the Dome Patrol podcast. But the good thing about the extended break is that this episode is going to be jamming with lots of good stuff to discuss. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with just the one. Had some wine with dinner, a nice relaxing dinner after the sweep, and got a cocktail right now. So kind of taking it easy. Drank a little yesterday for game four. Can't go nuts. Just had a nice relaxing time. It's been a nice, relaxing few weeks.
There you go.
Now that I know where you podcast from.
That's right. So, speaking of that, not yet speaking of that, but Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, yeah.
All right. That's it. Just sleeping. You'll be sleeping on the couch tonight, but other than that, he's feeling good.
My chair, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. The beat up chair that was supposed to be thrown out.
Oh, no, it was. No, my chair was gone. I had the new chair.
Oh, all right. You got to get your body print into it.
That's right.
All right.
Got to get his Murray Goldberg on in there.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get jumping with the first time I think we've ever opened an episode with this segment, but it is deservedly so, the Pelican Plunge!
The game. Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You gon' win!
Yeah. Pass the ball, final cast and call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass.
Yeah, no plunges in here. They are just blow-drying balls.
So, the broom, huh? Is Sean Payton come out with the broom? With a little dustpan?
He was there.
He was in the game yesterday. Yeah.
I didn't see him grab the broom, though, but he was there.
Well, supposedly, and somebody tweeted out a picture of this, you're not allowed to bring a broom into arena. That is a prohibited item.
Is it named?
Yes.
I mean, that's that.
Like the Pell sent an email about the game and said, please do not bring a broom. They are a prohibited item.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. That makes sense.
But we were the Pels were the only team to sweep the first round in the NBA playoffs. Yep. Everybody's still going on.
Good, get a little extra break.
It was nice. The playoffs got off to a nice start. Renee surprised me. She button hooked me, and we ended up at Jeff's house last weekend.
That's right. I thought I was going to be out of town, but it was you who was out of town.
I was out of town and out of touch.
Yeah, so we had a little surprise Pelican game watching crawfish boiling, which is funny because we were going to Scott's house for the crawfish boil anyway, and then Renee had apparently texted Andrea and was like, hey, I'm going to surprise Jason. I'm going to tell him he thinks he's going to Natchitoches. Can we just come to y'all's house and hang out? And Andrea was like, okay. So she's like, don't tell him. It's a surprise. I was like, well, so I called Scott and I'm like, hey, do you mind if Jason comes crash your crawfish boil? And he's like, sure. I know him. Yeah, sure. He can come over. So we ended up doing that. It rained the whole time pretty much, but we hung out inside the garage. We ended up meeting the Spencer, who is going to the draft. And he is... He's from Marksville, right? And he's going to... We told him we'd love to have him on after the draft, at least to maybe just so we can do a little recorded segment where he can kind of talk about what it was actually like to attend the live draft itself. I think they're going for Thursday night.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, it's in Dallas. I mean, so it's not that far. You know, and all the. I mean, it's not that far. That wouldn't have been a bad. That wouldn't have been a bad idea.
You done fucked up, Aaron. No, yeah, so he's gone, and he's said he'd be willing to hop on and talk about it. He has a little YouTube channel that he does. He does a Twitch channel and YouTube channel for, like, a gaming thing. So he'd be a good guy to bring on.
Yeah, so we tried to do some kind of live segments from the crawfish boil, but there was some girl that was hammered, and it just didn't work out. It just didn't work out. We actually got some, maybe like 2 or 3 minutes of decent conversation in, and then it was ruined. And Jeff was pretty hammered at that point, because I say, like, when we watched the Pels game, so because of the fucking West Coast, the game wasn't until 9:30. I watched the entire game. Jeff got through about a half until he passed out on the couch.
It was halftime. I fell asleep during halftime. It was nothing to watch.
You know. I mean, we were winning. It ended up being a close game. But anyway, getting back to the Pels, just an incredible series. And, you know, playoff Rondo was a thing. Miritich was on fire. And, I mean, Drew Holiday. Like, I mean, I haven't season tickets. I've seen him for a while. I know how good he is. Now, he didn't play this good before, but I knew how good of a two-way player he was. And now that they're on the national stage, he's getting a lot of attention. But he shut down those two guards. Just an unreal performance. And then especially, I mean, I went to game three when we blew them out. And just being back in there in a playoff atmosphere, because it's been, you know, a couple years since we last made it to the playoffs, but really longer than that since I kind of thought we actually had a chance. Not, you know, a couple years ago we were just happy to be there. We got swept by Golden State. But
exactly. No, you make a good point. Right, because not only were you back in, but you were back in with a 2-0 lead, sweeping them in Portland.
And just the playoff crowd is so different and so much more fun than just the regular season game where everybody's just talking to the neighbors. Nobody gives a shit. Like, there was an energy to the crowd. Everybody was into it. Like, I really felt like I could have stood for the whole game. And but it's awesome. I forgot how much I've enjoyed that, being at the game.
Well, it was also very nice watching it on TV, and everybody had the red shirts on. It was.
I'm wearing my shirt right now. Do it bigger.
It was red when, you know. Then you watch some of the other games, and then they didn't do that. So it was nice. It looked good.
And they played great. I mean,
they played great.
And especially in Game 4, when we needed Davis and Holly to step up, combined for 88 points, the two players, which ties for the most points scored by a duo in a single playoff game. Just an unreal performance by both those guys. I mean, Holiday was probably, if you had to pick an MVP of the series, probably Holiday, even though Davis puts up his massive numbers. But, you know, even through the first three games, and I think I tweeted it, it's like, man, we're up 3-0, and we haven't had one of these, like, holy shit, Anthony Davis took over and is a monster games, and that's what you saw last night with his 47 points.
And then the beautiful job of the Pelicans organization tweeting out how ESPN's quote-unquote experts, not a single one of them picked the Pelicans to win this round. Every single one of them had the Trailblazers winning.
And you know what? You're probably going to see that again next round with the Warriors.
Yeah.
I mean,
With the Warriors, it's understandable, but with Portland, they won one more game during the fucking year. That's all they did. They won, you know, they had 49 wins. We had 48. So why was it a consensus with 27 people that they were going to win because they had home court advantage?
Yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, and the thing is, like, we had split the season series, so it's not like they swept us during the regular season. Just nobody believed, who cares about New Orleans? They're in, they're out, nobody cares.
Now, did Portland have the best home record?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I would think that would still have to be Houston. But they are tough in that building up in Portland. That's a good crowd up there. And I mean, really, like, to take game one, I was like, holy shit, what an awesome performance. And then to go back in and win game two after that was just like, good Lord. And I think that's eight straight wins for the Pelicans now. From the end of the regular season into the playoffs, I think that's eight straight. They are locked in. The effect that Rondo has had on the team, watching film, just getting guys prepared. I mean, they gelled at the right time. And look, I've made my feelings about Gentry known, especially this year. I just didn't think he was it, but he's done a phenomenal job.
I eat my words. I we're not there yet, but I like him. I want him back next year. I want him back next year.
I mean, to me, it's like advancing to the second round this season.
So it was always health and not the coaching all these years. It was always the injuries.
So, I mean, it's about – right. Hey, it's exciting, you know. I mean, this is kind of, well, we're not there yet, but if you remember the Golden State, what was it, 2012, you know, they were an unknown team, made a little impression in the playoffs and then came back, have been dominant since 2013, yeah. their first championship,
and,
I think?
15.
And did you 15? Catch, okay. Did you catch the stat where it only took, or it took Anthony Davis, what, 8? Games to reach 250 points in the postseason, and the only other player in NBA history to reach that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who did it in his seventh game.
Wow.
So,
look, he's
good company. Good company.
Yeah, and this, and they have a belief that they can win. That's the best part about it.
Is that a Tom Benson thing? What is that? Maybe it sparked Tom Benson's death and in memory of him. Well, that sparked it. Well, but
what?
Tom Benson's death,
right?
And
maybe giving a little
winning in memory of him, like in his memory, in his honor, or something to that effect. Like they were dedicating it to him. But it feels it might have been just the spark. But now there's a certain magic, intangible that you know that belief in themselves and the team that's just
Well, Jason, you have to explain it to me because I don't understand. Do it bigger. Where did that come?
Seriously, come on, do it, do it.
Huh? Come on, do it, do it, do it,
okay.
Do it, do it, do it, do it.
Come on, do it. Seriously, do it, do it, do it.
The theme of the entire season was do it big because we had Davis and Cousins. We were trying to buck the trend of pace and space, ball. We're going to do it big with our two guys. Like on my season ticket holder booklet, it says do it big. That's been their theme basically all season, do it big.
Do
it. Okay.
And I guess
playoffs would do it bigger.
And I can do it bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do it.
Do it bigger.
Do it.
Blow dry your balls a little bit and then do it bigger.
All
shave
right.
your balls. It looks like you're doing it bigger, but it's really the same.
So it's definitely the Warriors, though, or
yeah.
So the Warriors are up 3-1. San Antonio beat them today, but it's hard to imagine. Like they're still without Kawhi Leonard. It's hard to imagine.
Right. Well,
the Warriors losing three more games in a row.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Steph Curry is not playing, and he's still projected to maybe miss a game or two in the second round, which would be fucking fantastic. Which would be great news for us.
Yeah. I mean, what if we could?
Because we can go in and we beat the Warriors maybe 2 weeks ago. We went into Golden State and beat them, and they were full strength without Curry, kind of where they are now. Yeah, but
can you beat them?
Like Durant played, Thompson played, Draymond Green played. All those guys played, so we can, if Curry misses a game or two,
We can do it bigger.
All in.
All right.
It's just it's fun to have playoff basketball back.
And you really being in the playoffs, the Pelicans now in the playoffs. This is we're in a good time for New Orleans sports again.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of years of a little negativity there, but. Think about
that Gale, she's a hell of an owner.
That's right. And ever since Tom died, all we've done is win.
Right.
He was alive during the regular season. During football season.
Right. Yeah, but it's still true, right? All right, let's move into our next segment, which is Saints-related, which is so I guess we'll call it fake news.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And the 2018 actual schedule dropped earlier this week, or last week, and it looks like the Saints have I don't know, what do you even call it? Would you call it a deceiving schedule?
Deceiving how?
I don't know, like...
You said it.
I don't. It feels like it could be easy, but it almost is. It's a good. It's going to give you a good start because I think all of the games before the bye week are winnable, and then it progressively starts to get harder. You're going to get the Eagles, and then you're going to get the Falcons.
Well, you got like the Vikings, Rams. Kind of
Vikings.
But you could say that every year, and like it looks tough, but a team could suck that you think is good.
Yeah.
I mean, it does seem like the schedule starts. I mean, you get Tampa. And then Cleveland first two.
Both at home.
Should be a win. And Bucks should win. But then you got Falcons. Giants should stink. Redskins should stink. Ravens should stink. But then you got Vikings, Rams, Bengals, Eagles, Falcons. And we've got the two Thursday games, which, I mean.
I'd rather have two Thursdays in a row. But aren't they doing that to everybody?
Yeah. They came out with something
called. Trying to do it, yeah.
Right.
Can't do it to everybody.
Right, a rest. Well, no, not everybody's not getting two Thursday night games, but they're doing something. They played in because the Giants apparently played eight teams last year coming off a bye or something like that, and they complained that those teams were more rested than they were.
True.
So the NFL put into their schedule something so one team won't have more rest than another. They can't totally get rid of it, but they've tried to minimize it.
I mean, I do like so we got the Falcons on Thanksgiving night, which I know it's a holiday and it's there's some logistics there, but I like it because if we're gonna get a Thursday night game at home, which we're owed because a lot of the Thursday night games that we've had to fucking go on the road, which is just an unfair advantage. If it's at home, I'm glad that A, it's on a holiday, so I don't have to deal with work logistics, and then I'm off the next day. So that honestly works out the best. I don't have to deal with a lot of extra bullshit that I would if it's a normal Thursday work week where I've got to deal with work on the Thursday and I got to work.
That's a good idea. Yeah, you're right. Even getting down there that night should be easier.
Yeah, there should be.
Not having to worry about rush hour traffic. Oh, yeah. Right.
I'll have to shift around a turkey dinner, but so be it.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, but the game, like you said, the game's not till 7:30.
Yeah.
I mean, we eat at noon. We eat at noon, and then I usually pass out watching Dallas or...
Well, there you go. You can get a nice nap and then wake up and be rejuvenated when you drive into the game.
But yeah, so we have 5 primetime games.
Mm-hmm.
That shows you what happens when you have the offensive and defensive rookie of the year.
Right, yeah.
Now, the one thing, if y'all, I don't like, hold on a second, if you don't mind.
I don't know. I was a fan of all games last year being at noon, being an old man.
You're right. I mean, we don't have a lot of.
You have only 7 games are at noon this year. So
I mean, but I'm just
out of 16.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm more looking at home games. But we have 2 home games that are at 3. The 3 window. We got the Steelers at the 3 window and the Rams at the 3 o'clock window.
Right. And then a Monday night game against Washington at 7:30 and then the Thursday night with Atlanta.
Yeah.
At 7:30.
Why is the Giants game at 3:30 and on CBS? It's not even. Like, that's an NFC game.
Maybe because there were too many. Oh, maybe CBS, like, they just didn't have enough games. Sometimes that'll happen. Like, I think it maybe happened one time. We were on CBS last year, even though
it
was 2 NFC teams.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not sure the exact reason, but I know it's happened a few times.
No, I think it's a good schedule. I'm not just pointing things out, not really bitching. But it's going to be strange during the year, at least for, you know, people like with season tickets. So we opened the season with 2 home games, which is good. Like you said earlier, hey, let's get off to a fast start. Tampa, Cleveland, New York, I mean, those should be wins. And so should Atlanta, but at least go 3-1. And then you close the season with 2 home games. In case you need, you know, in case you need to, you know, a game at the end there. But what you have half of your schedule in the first 2 weeks and the last 2 weeks. So that means you're going 12 weeks with only 4 games in the Superdome.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, so week, you know.
13 weeks, actually, 13 weeks.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of those 4 of them are on the road. And then you've got 3 straight, you know, after that, you got at Dallas, at Tampa, at Carolina.
Right. So I get it. I just think they're going to feel weird. As a season ticket holder, 13 weeks having 4 games, you know.
Ooh. That's the other weird. When you look at how it lays out, we have like stretches of home, stretches of not having games at home because with the bye week included. And then the other thing I found for the first time in seems like a long time, the Falcons, we're done with them by mid-November.
Yeah.
I mean, usually we don't even play them until November.
Well, they did it. They switched it with Carolina because we play them twice in the last 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, wow. Week 15 and 17, we play Carolina.
Exactly. Right. Clearly, that's the NFL predicting that this.
Clearly,
Atlanta's not going to be in.
Right. Clearly, nobody gives a fuck about the Falcons.
No, you're 100% right. That's what the league is. That's what they're betting on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right, wow. It will not be Atlanta.
How about them apples?
So,
I like how that's what we get out of all the things you could take away from the schedule. Folks.
That's what you take out.
Does not believe in the Falcons.
I'm happy. I don't have to miss a game this year. So when I'm down in Orlando, that's the Sunday night game at Minnesota.
Ah,
so I don't miss one. So then we come back. We come back Saturday, and then we get the Rams the next day, and it's a later game. So we can sleep a little later.
Oh yeah, and we were looking at if there's any games that we could come down for, it would probably be either the Bucks or Browns, which is gonna be harder, I think, to get tickets to those, strictly because it's like game one. Nobody's gonna
probably game, but like the Browns.
The Browns game could be an easy one.
Easy.
Yeah, and then maybe that is it Sunday before Thanksgiving kind of situation.
Eagles, but the Eagles are the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah,
I know. I'm not in love with coming to that, but then again, you know what? How awesome and electric is that atmosphere going to be? Especially if we're, you know, undefeated up to that point.
Well, I don't know about undefeated, but let's just be in first place in the division.
Oh, you're a naysayer. And, you know, right, the Eagle, and look, the Eagles lost their Super Bowl winning quarterback, so.
This guy is fucking stupid!
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. He's just the backup right now.
No, whatever. Well, he ain't playing.
Classic. <yeah.
laughs> You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
All right, anyway, let's move forward to the draft, because the draft is, from what I hear, Thursday.
Yeah, this week.
Yeah, and there is a little bit of talk about Baker Mayfield, and I'm not talking about him related to the Saints, but him maybe trying to pull some Eli Manning shit.
Well, there was also Saquon Barkley possibly pulling some. He just doesn't want to play with the Browns.
Right. Nobody wants to play with the Browns.
No one wants to play with the Browns.
Right.
So
yes, but I mean, it's crazy. It seems like all these, like, you may get five, possibly even six quarterbacks going round one. Which is good for us. I'd rather another, you know, player fall. I mean, at some point we're going to have to think of QB, but, you know, like any of these top guys, they're all going to be taken long before we pick unless we trade up, which I'd prefer not to. But, you know, we don't have a lot of early draft capital, but we've got 2/5, 2/6, you know, a third, a fourth, and a seventh. So we've got some later capital to move. You know, I don't know that we move up in the first round.
Or we could play in the third and maybe.
Right. Well, I mean, I could see us using some of these picks to maybe move up in the second or the third round, because we don't have a second round pick right now.
Right.
So, I do see us moving up in that section to grab a guy or two, but not the first. I just don't see us trading up in the first round. If anything, I know we say it every year, but the Saints haven't been shown to trade down. It seems like if they do make a trade, it's always to move up.
Right,
but
I wouldn't mind getting a second, you know, trading out of number 27, mm-hmm. getting a second and a fourth, you know.
Like maybe if a quarterback falls that somebody's in love with, maybe you could swing the deal there.
Right. Well, we might be in love with him too. I don't know.
Well, yeah, maybe. But I think all the good ones are going to be gone by then.
I think so too, and I think we said this last time we got together. Look, don't worry about the quarterback. We still have Drew Brees. Let's get better. Don't worry about a quarterback.
No.
They have no guarantee on any of these guys that Baker Mayfield is going to. Don't worry about it. Let's get better for 2018 and win a championship now.
I agree. When you do, let's say you get 2 years out of Brees, you might even get a third year out of that.
Possible.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong. I like the strategy of not just, you know, rolling the dice on a draft pick. Take a guy who may have played 3, 4, 5 years and shown that he can play in the NFL. And Sean Payton could turn what might have been a good quarterback into a great quarterback as well. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a draft pick.
Right. And look, trust me, the Saints know all this. They're looking at contract and saying, okay.
You think?
He's up, you know, in 220. He's a free agent. You know, so undoubtedly they're looking at all
they're
that.
But
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Again,
but,
I'm
right,
not,
like, I just – I don't think it's worth it, you know, even though we need – at some point we're going to need a QB. Like,
but not now.
Right. You know, like, I want to take – like, I think our first pick, whoever it's going to be, is going to be – if you're picking – now, the good thing with – you know, we signed a couple – you know, we signed Meredith. That's official now. We bring back Coleman.
I like that.
Sneed's leaving. There isn't necessarily like a huge quote unquote need, but I still think I think we do need a defensive end.
A tight end? We still need a tight end.
A defensive end, tight end, a cornerback.
Yeah.
I think. Because you can't have
and we need another lineman.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think a couple of those fifth or sixth round picks, that's when we just take our offensive lineman.
But every one of those positions is not a dire need, right? Except maybe.
I don't know, man.
I don't know that we have a dire need. I mean, defensive end, because you don't know what Okafor is. You know, is Okafor going to be back and good to go?
You need depth, right. And that's it. Every position
maybe
is
not even depth. Like, what if Okafor comes back and he doesn't have – I mean, a torn Achilles is a big deal.
You didn't believe in Okafor last offseason either. I know. You just
– No, I did. I loved him last offseason, but he wasn't coming off an Achilles tear.
What was it? There was something about it. Was it Okafor that you – who'd we lose where Okafor was the guy coming in and you were like, oh, no, because we lost – who was that?
I love.
Who was it though?
I loved Okafor when we signed him. I don't know who we lost. Did we lose a defensive end? Was our defensive end before?
I don't think so. God, who knows?
Somehow, well. Oh, well, he clearly...
I mean, I guess you still do have Trey Hendrickson and Muhammad. Maybe one of those guys makes a little bit of a leap in year two.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
I mean, yeah, you never know. But there really isn't a glaring, like, holy fuck, we need to draft
him. I'm just ready for all the Saints fans to overreact on Twitter and hate every pick or over-love every pick. You know, God forbid we have a measured response to anything.
Right. Oh, no, this year is definitely the overlove of every pick. This year, every pick is a offensive
rookie. I think it's going to be the over-criticize every pick because every – like you just said, you've got about five or six positions. You could take best available. Nothing really dire, so whatever. But there's guys that are going to be in the wide receiver camp. There's guys going to be in the defensive end camp and guys in the tight end camp. And so – whatever camp doesn't get their way with the first pick, for sure, they're going to bitch. So that the four camps are going to bitch, one camp's going to celebrate.
Remember, and last year, every camp bitched when we drafted Ramczyk.
Right.
Yeah, now look at him.
You know, I mean, and that's part of the problem with the fucking mock draft culture that we have today. Right. That's why I don't get involved in that bullshit. Look. I don't want to think about a guy or get up and down about a guy until I know, yep, he's a Saint.
It's what I think casual fans and don't understand is the offensive line. How do I say this?
The backbone of your team.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I didn't want to say it's the most important position because obviously that's quarterback.
Right. No, right.
But that offensive line and defensive line, it's an old cliche. That's where the game is won.
Mm-hmm.
My God, it really is. Where the game is fucking won. Look at what we did when we had the greatest guards in the league.
Mm-hmm. And look at Dallas in this case is a bit of a model franchise. Look at what they did all those years was they kept investing in building their offensive line, and now they're reaping the benefits of that.
And they turned that great offensive line turned Dak Prescott into a pretty good quarterback.
See?
Yeah. Yeah, he's decent. He's good. He ain't great. He ain't Drew Brees. But he's good. He's good. Mm-hmm. He's all right.
Because it is kind of fun now that the draft is actually here. I'm not getting involved in all the mock draft bullshit. Now that the draft is here, it's like, oh shit, I'm excited. The draft is this week.
Well, no doubt. I'm very excited. Now, tell me this. If maybe y'all read mock drafts, I haven't really read any mock drafts. Who is there? There's not even a consensus on who we would take.
I mean, I know some of the local guys have projected one of those tight ends.
Right, okay, I've seen that a lot. Right, it's more position than player.
Yeah. I mean, it's either been a tight end, maybe a cornerback, but... I wouldn't be mad if we drafted a corner. I'd be happy.
And after the last two drafts, I am going to trust what the front office does. Year before that? But after the last two,
they built up some currency. You can actually have a little faith and be excited whenever we.
Amen.
So the mock draft, if you are going to pay attention to any of them on SB Nation, this is what may actually be the most realistic, only because the player comes from Ohio State, and we know that Sean Payton and
it's worked for us the last few years.
Yeah, propensity to choose Ohio State players. It's that Sam Hubbard.
Defensive end.
Uh-huh. And they were saying, if he's there at that time, he would be one of the most appealing to the Saints. Which, to your point, if you're right, that it is, if defensive end is your pick and he's there, is he the best available overall?
Fuck if I know.
Who knows, but...
Ohio State?
Right? He checks all the boxes.
Right. He checks the boxes.
There's only one
Ohio
box.
State? Check.
Right.
I just need the one box.
That's Michael Thomas. Hey, you know this guy? What do you think about him? Yeah, he's
right. Now, I've heard Mike Gautilier was saying Keys from LSU might drop to the third.
That's or third or even fourth.
Right.
Field shit. Right. I mean, I would scoop him up in a heartbeat. And third, I mean, at that point, take a chance because talent.
Right.
Yeah. Although I say that, I mean, look, with the Reuben Foster situation in San Francisco, I know that was a guy we were pissed that San Francisco traded up and got him, and thank God that they did.
Right, we were supposedly on the phone with him, and he hung up. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, well, you know what? Now it's going to cost us.
Yeah, and now he's
because
on
all prison out. All prison calls are collect.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's on his way out the league, and on draft day, everybody anointed the 49ers brain trust with having the best, right. best fucking draft. And
he did have a good year. He did have a good year on the field, but he's just a lunatic apparently.
Yeah, fucking knocking his girlfriend around, and now he's. Now he's going to be out the league, and we just, we had to settle for Ryan Ramczyk.
At worst, let's say all the charges against him, he found innocent. At worst, he's gone for half a year from the domestic abuse allegation, right?
Yeah. Because this isn't the first thing that's happened.
I mean, at best, he's gone half a year or a full year.
And, I mean, he did it once. All of a sudden, he's going to change after this? I mean, highly unlikely. So there was some luck involved with that whole situation, but whatever.
Now, other options for the Saints that might fall in the first round could be a linebacker from Alabama, Rashawn Evans, or wide receiver from Texas A&M, Christian Kirk.
So yeah,
those names
Kirk,
are.
I don't think Kirk will be there at 27.
And I don't know that would you take him? Well, I mean, slot receiver only because you lost Snead. Maybe is why people.
Right,
were
but we brought in Meredith. Like if we hadn't assigned Meredith, I think wide receiver would definitely be an option right there. Mm-hmm. So now that we have Meredith,
Maybe it'll be defense then, because the majority of mock drafts have either. The defensive end from Ohio State or the linebacker, Rashawn Evans. Either way, if you hear any of those names, the mock drafts actually might have carried a little bit of knowledge.
Nope. Thank you.
It's two names that now they might be familiar to me. How's that?
Okay, there you go.
Right? I'll watch
I've heard of that guy.
Right. They're going to air a little package to tell you who the guy is when they make the pick anyway, so that's when you'll learn about him. Sammy. All right.
It is going to be a little. I mean, I know it's a good thing that we're picking so late, but like, because I'm going to be excited. I'm going to watch the draft, but like, we're going to have to wait so long until our pick. It's going to get.
No, it really is going to be frustrating, to say the least. And then having nothing in the second.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm going to. I probably won't watch the next day because I'm going to the. Zurich the next day.
So, speaking of, that is our next segment, which is Jason's Golf Tiger Week.
What do 17 major championships, over $6 million in prize money, and complete domination of the sport of golf have in common? Two things: the champion and Aerofly balls.
Aerofly balls. They just seem to go further.
If it's good enough for the champion, don't you think it's good enough for you?
That's right. Last time we spoke, that's right. Jason was predicting Tiger's going to win the Masters.
That's not what I predicted.
How did he do in the Masters? Came in the top five, right?
He made the cut.
Oh, he made the cut. Well, that's...
He finished like 30-something. No, he didn't win. Made the cut, finished 30-something.
Okay.
So, so this week we get the Zurich, the hometown event down here in New Orleans, the only team event on tour. Fortunately, we're not going to get Tiger and Phil pairing like some of us were kind of hoping. But it is a really strong field, maybe the strongest field that we've ever had. We've got like 6 guys from the top 10 in the world, I think 18 of the top 30. Jordan Spieth's playing.
And then Tiger.
No Tiger.
Oh,
there's not coming. Right. You said the top 30. That's right.
Right. I said that. Yeah, he's not ranked in the top 30 right now. But we've got all current, the current holders of all 4 major championships are all playing in the field this week. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, the Masters winner from a few weeks ago, and Brooks Koepka, the U.S. Open winner. So it's a pretty strong field, a lot of interesting teams. Again, a lot of excitement on the tournament because of the team format, a little more than if it was just a normal stroke play. So I'm going out there Friday. I don't know yet about the weekend, but I'm definitely going to be out there Friday, and I'm looking forward to it. It's always a good week. I just like this new format has really strengthened the field, and it's bringing more attention to the city. It's also Jazz Fest, so there's a lot going on. I would say, Jeff, you should try to come down, but I get it. It's a long trek. Damon, have you ever gone to the Zurich or the old compact whenever it was?
I went to the old compact 100 years ago, man.
And it was at English Turn, probably?
Yep, when was at English Turn, yep.
Okay.
100 years ago, back when Damon turned 21.
But definitely, you know, it's even if you're just a cat, I mean, if you're a golf fan, clearly you're going to be there. But even if you're not, just check it out for a day. I mean, it's a fun time. I've got a ticket to the Acme tent, which is a nice little setup in between a couple of holes. Got drinks and food there. It's a real nice party atmosphere. So it's fun. They've really done a lot of good things with the tournament. Tried to make it a better event than what it has been in the past. So, and the weather looks like it might actually cooperate for once. Just been kind of a
yeah. But you know, you mentioned that they have the Jazz Fest in Zurich. They were talking, I don't know, Timmy, stop me if we talked about this before, but they were talking on the radio the other day. I forget who they were talking with, the guy in charge of the Greater New Orleans Foundation. You know, that's who brings all these sports, you know, when we bid for Super Bowls and all that stuff. And they were asking him about the NFL draft. You know, it's NFL drafts have been touring over the last 4 or 5 years. They've been in Philly, I think it was in Chicago, this year it's in Dallas. And they were asking him, you know, well, could we be in line for that? And he said, no, that we've never bid or thought about it because it's the same weekend as the Zurich.
Uh-huh. And Jazz Fest.
And he goes, no, so we've never really bid or talked to him. He said, if they ever move it to another weekend, he goes, yeah, well, then, you know.
Yeah, it could be done.
Right, but not in its current location.
Right. Because I know, like, for the draft was in May for a couple of years,
years ago.
Yep. People got pissed because it was like 3 more weeks of mock drafts. People were like, fuck right. This shit.
Done.
Yeah.
Right. Hurry up.
Not yet that. Look, I mean, the draft, you know, at the end of April, May is the only time they did do the mini camps, you know.
Think about it like this, too, from the player's perspective. I mean, you're still in college. You still have finals. But this weekend, you're going to find out.
You think so?
Yeah, they still have classes.
Yeah, but if you're a first-round pick, I don't think you're going to class.
I think they might have dropped them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, from a player's perspective, if you get picked and you got 3 weeks left of school? After that, it's like, bitch, I play for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, now, I mean, in addition to that, you've also got Pelicans playoffs. Now, I don't think it's because of the break and the sweep. You know, that's not going to start till at the earliest sometime next weekend. But let's say we didn't sweep Portland. You know, you would have had a home playoff game probably
right.
like Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday. So with everything else going on, and you've got a home playoff basketball game. That's another thing going forward. It's quite like there's just a lot of shit going on this week. This is really, like you said earlier, this is a great time to be a sports fan down here.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. All right. I think that's all we have, at least in the sports and New Orleans categories. The only thing left is the Avengers coming out, right?
Yeah, got my tickets for Saturday. My rewatch. The last movie, I watched Thor Ragnarok yesterday. I went through and watched every movie except for The Incredible Hulk and Thor 2. Over the last, yeah. I don't know, like...
You couldn't bring yourself to do it.
Well, Thor 2, those are the two movies that I don't actually own. So I didn't go out of my way. I didn't go out of my way.
For the same.
Yeah, they're not great.
Even if he owned them, he wouldn't have watched them.
Yeah. I have, for some reason, I have The Incredible Hulk. I don't know why.
It wasn't a bad movie. It's just, knowing, when, you know, when I started it, because that's movie number two, I'm like, I got all these movies ahead of me. I might just skip the Hulk. Especially since it's not even the same actor playing Banner.
Right. Well, I think I told you, you know, just recently, for some reason, I did not buy a lot of the movies when they came out. So I am currently trying to, every time, you know, when I go to Walmart, see what they have and complete my Avengers collection. I think I have 6 out of 17, you know, or something like that. I think I need 10. I need 10 or 11.
Yeah, and a couple of movies like that I had watched. I hadn't watched since it came out. Like Guardians 2, I had only seen the one time in the theater. And I watched that and said, God damn, that was a really good movie. Really good. And then I watched Spider-Man earlier in the week, and I hadn't seen that since I watched it in the theater. And, you know, they did a really good job of that. And then Ragnarok, Thor, I hadn't watched that in the theater. I mean, the Ragnarok is such a really good
movie. It's the best Thor movie by far.
Oh, hands down. Hands down.
I think when they maybe realized that Thor should be more of a comedy than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Not so much Shakespeare.
and teaming him up with the Hulk.
Yeah, because it's kind of two weaker.
Exactly. Both of those characters need something else, and they're not good.
They definitely feed well off of each other. And if you think about it, I mean, they are the two strongest Avengers.
Right. Right. And even in the comics, they always put them together and stuff. Now, what I had heard, is that they said they're not going to do a Hulk movie with the guy who plays him now.
Ruffalo.
But what they're thinking about doing, though, is putting a Hulk story through several movies.
Well, yeah, there's like a weird distribution deal with the Hulk where if there is a standalone Hulk movie, it has to get distributed through Universal.
Mm.
It's still an MCU movie, but somehow Universal owns instead of distribution, right? Okay. So, okay. And considering how the first two Hulk movies went, they're like, yeah, it's kind of hard to do them on his own. So they are doing a Hulk storyline, starting with Ragnarok and then going through the two Avengers movies. It's going to play out like a three-movie arc for him.
Well, I think that's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah, I'm so anxious for this movie because I'm worried about who's not gonna make it.
Are they having an early screening on Thursday?
I'm assuming so. Okay. Like the late night Thursday, I mean they do it for all these other big movies. Why not this one?
Right.
So they can cram in more showings. Because I'm sure it's going to be a two and a half hour movie,
but wait.
I am. I wouldn't wait long because
spoilers.
Yeah, like that's the main reason. I mean, I think it's going to be a really good movie, but also like I want to watch it that first weekend because I don't want anything to be spoiled.
I know.
And we're gonna have to talk about it.
Well, okay. I'm looking here. It does say Thursday, April the 6th at Esplanade.
I want to go watch it this weekend, Jeff. Yeah, this is one of those movies where you might want to watch it. Just don't buy the 3D tickets.
Ah, you already did. Which movie was that? Was
that Age of Ultron or Civil War?
I think it was Civil War. Ultron. I think it was Ultron. Yeah. It was like 2013 or 2014.
It would have been 2015 was Age of Ultron, so that's probably it.
Mm. What was the last movie we went and saw?
Star Wars.
Star Wars?
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars.
The Force Last Jedi's.
That was it.
Last Jedi, yep.
And I still haven't seen that since the theater. I need to go buy that.
Me neither. I was just thinking that.
Because I liked it. I mean, I liked it, and I meant to go see it again, and I just never saw it again, and I need to buy it and watch it again.
Remember, I went the following week.
Uh-huh.
With Linda. I mean, is it on DVD?
Yeah, it's out. It's been out for like maybe a couple of weeks.
Okay, good. I'll get it in.
I think it's on Netflix already.
Yeah, you're going to get it in.
No, it's not. No, he's not.
Only if he blow dries his balls first.
That's right. All right. Anything else there?
Wow.
No. I think that covered it all.
Yeah, we covered a lot.
Well, that's not too bad.
No.
And under an hour.
Oh, shit. What the fuck?
Any final thoughts, then? Y'all got some loosey-goosey thoughts?
Final thoughts? Westworld comes back tonight, so yeah. I'm looking forward to getting back up on that mystery train again. They were running a marathon all day today, so I've caught episodes here and there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Walking Dead finale last week, by the way, for those of you who watched that and are ready for the spoilers. They did kill Negan.
No, they didn't.
Sort of.
Well, I mean,
is what they made you think.
They did make you think that. Yes, they did.
Yes, because that's what they do.
Slashed his throat, and like 30 minutes in, it's like, wow, oh, shit, we still have 30 minutes to show. And then Rick, like, save him or something. I'm like, wow, Rick is really talented to be able to slice somebody across the jugular perfectly so that they could be saved in the apocalypse.
Just that they did, right, just so that they incapacitate him, but right. Not kill him.
That's right.
So that's actually how it unfolded in the comics.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought they did something different.
I mean, come on. It's nope. Walking Dead.
So, I mean, that's, hey, it's, I like that, the move that they're taking. And it's clearly going in soap opera direction at this point, where anybody could be face any or heel at any time now. Like, Maggie and crew are going to kind of go villainous, but not, you know, you're not going to have, like, the degree of villain of, like, the governor or Negan. But they're going to be the anti, you know, the antagonist?
Right.
Wrong.
Is that in the book? Is that in the book, Jason?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, because that was surprising that, and somehow Jesus was on their side.
Yeah. What the fuck
killed,
was that?
But just, I mean, that episode before he was telling Morgan not to kill, so I don't.
Yeah,
even,
that didn't make sense to me at all.
Right. So I didn't get that. They lost me. You know.
Yeah. Like there's a couple other people they could have put in that seat, but he was the one. I think his whole thing is, you kill the Negans, but you don't kill the people that you can rebuild a society with, kind of thing. I think he's right. That kind of guy, maybe. I don't know.
But, I mean, how far is that away from Negan's philosophy? If you take somebody, you kill one, and then...
It's not far at all, right? It is his philosophy, isn't it? Negan never wanted to kill resources.
Right. So, I don't know. It was weird, though. I'll wait till next year, pick it up again.
Yeah, see where it goes. Anyway, Fear of the Walking Dead. Anybody watch that?
No. I did tape the episode, though, just because of the Morgan crossover, but I still can't bring myself to watch it.
Yeah. All right. Well, in that case, I think we'll just wrap it up. If y'all ain't got nothing else to say. That is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, you can always listen the old-fashioned way at DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Bill Snead, donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Did you say Bill Snead?
Yeah.